Welcome to Mind Your Biz Today on South Florida's only all-business radio station, 880 AM. Today's business world is fast-paced and ever-changing. Gain a competitive advantage by listening to Mind Your Biz Today, hosted by Janie Smith, CEO of Smart Advantage. Janie is a best-selling author and business consultant extraordinaire with over 35,000 hours consulting C-suite executives. She will help you navigate today's business hurdles and maximize your opportunities with thought-provoking discussions with CEOs, business authors, and thought leaders. Learn the latest trends and profit-producing ideas for growing your business.
Brought to you by the Hudson Institute of Executive Education at Nova Southeastern University. Executive training programs to excel in today's competitive market.
Here's your host, Janie Smith.
Good afternoon, South Florida. Welcome back to Mind Your Biz Today. This is Janie Smith. I am your host today on the show. I am the author of the best-selling book, Creating Competitive Advantage. We teach companies how to identify what makes them different and how to look for the things that are going to make them stand out in the crowd and not let price be the differentiator. So Mind Your Biz Today is a show brought to you. We're here every Friday afternoon, and our intent is to help South Florida companies and people who are in businesses grow your business through leading-edge ideas and concepts and disciplines. And we bring you some of the very best thought leaders in the country, folks who are CEOs of big companies and folks who have written about and go around the country teaching certain disciplines. So, again, thank you for being with us on Mind Your Biz. We just want to remind our listeners, please go to our website, mindyourbiztoday.com. Give us your comments on this show and other shows. Give us your thoughts on any show you'd like for us to broadcast in coming months, some expert you might want us to bring on board so that it can answer questions you may have in your businesses and your everyday challenges. We'd be happy to do that. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that's mindyourbiztoday.com. Please visit us and talk to us online. Okay, well, I'm very interested and excited to introduce to you today Josh Linker. Josh comes to us from Detroit, and he's the author of a new book that is just breaking through the Amazon waves. The book is called Disciplined Dreaming, A Proven System to Drive Breakthrough Creativity. And Josh is the founder and chairman of ePrize, the largest interactive promotion agency in the world. He is often quoted in business press, including the Wall Street Journal, Inc., and Fast Company. And he's also won numerous awards, including the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award, the Inc. 500, Fast Company's Fast 50, and Detroit Executive of the Year. Josh, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
It is my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I'm very interested in your topic because it complements my topic as well. You can't have a competitive advantage without creativity. Isn't that right?
You are so right. And I'll tell you, creativity in the past perhaps was a nice to have, and today it's really become a have to have. You know, we live in a world of dizzying speed and exponential complexity and ruthless competition. So standing out is more important than ever. And to do so, creativity really has become the building blocks, the currency of success in this new era of business.
Yes, it is. And most of the creativity we see in this world, at least what I see when I pick up the Wall Street Journal, tends to be in the internet businesses, any kind of e-commerce, but not so much, we're not seeing it so much in other areas. So what role does creativity play in helping the U.S. compete successfully in the global economy where we're lagging behind?
Well, creativity to me is really everything. It's the one thing that can't be outsourced. It's the true source of competitive and sustainable advantage. And this applies, again, not just to internet companies. I think there's a lot of misnomers out there, misconceptions. You know, one conception is that creativity only involves product breakthroughs. Well, in the book, I talk a lot about everyday creativity and those little teeny acts of creativity. How do you structure a meeting better? Or how do you work a creative solution to a small problem that can really propel an organization forward? You know, the other misconception is that things are only happening in the internet world. And while the folks that have been in the digital age, of course, are creative, it doesn't mean that traditional businesses aren't as well. I mean, the one I love to talk about is Ford Motor Company, who was really on the verges of disaster. But with the leadership of Alan Mulally and really a commitment to innovation, they beat through the odds and rose out of adversity, and today have become a very successful and profitable company once again.
Yeah, I mean, I see those kinds of examples all the time in my work as well. When we go into a company and help them find competitive advantage, if they don't have one or know how to articulate it, they have to get very creative in certain areas. And so I'm with you. It's not necessarily the product or the service. You know, what I said earlier is it appears that it's only the Internet because those are the ones that get the most press with innovation and creativity. So, you know, I remember reading in the paper not too long ago, there was a bar graph showing where the U.S. is in terms of innovation and creativity, and we're lagging behind some of the other major countries. So where do you think our education system needs to go to help us compete globally?
You know, we really are facing a serious challenge. We know that creativity, the need for creativity, is rising exponentially. But unfortunately, we're not developing those skills in our people. There's a Newsweek article last year, actually a cover article, talking about the creativity crisis. And what they found is that over several decades, creativity in America was on the increase until the last 10 or so years where we've suffered a dramatic decrease. And it makes sense. I mean, we grew up in rigid school systems. We're taught to follow the rules. And guess what the teacher knows? There's only one right answer. And whatever you do, don't make mistakes.
Yeah, color within the lines.
Right, exactly. But, you know, but taking responsible risks in the business world is mission critical. In fact, you know, quote, unquote, playing it safe has become the riskiest thing of all. So I think that we need to really focus much more on building creativity throughout our society, both in kids and adults.
So how do you suggest, does your book talk about that, about how the education system can do that better?
It does. I mean, you know, we stress so much about sort of left brain linear, follow the rules type thinking, but that right brain abstract nonlinear thinking is what allows us to win in business. I'll give you a great example. When I was a kid, I grew up in the 70s, and I played Legos a lot. And a Lego set was, if you look at a box from the 70s, it had lots of modular pieces, and you'd build all sorts of things. So Legos was an experience about building something from your imagination, breaking it, and then rebuilding something else. Well, today Lego sets look very different. Today a Lego set is a series of very one-use-only pieces, and it's an exercise in following detailed instructions, building the model once, and putting it up on your shelf. So instead of nurturing imagination, we're teaching how to follow instructions, which is the exact opposite thing we need to do.
Wow,
so what schools need to do is move away from the traditional approach, move away from rigid left-brain thinking, and really foster abstract creativity more than ever.
Boy, that is a great point. I did not know that about Legos, having not seen one for many years. I guess some of the other things is that kids are marching to a schedule, you know, off to soccer, off to band, off to this, off to that. And so there's no time for them to be creative. And it's unfortunate. So what are some of the most commonly held myths about being creative? You know, we all think, well, I just wasn't born creative. So share with us your views on that.
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up because a huge myth is that creativity is born. You know, you're either creative or you're not. And it turns out the research shows that's exactly opposite. In fact, a 2008 Harvard study asked the age-old question, is creativity born or is it developed? Is it nature versus nurture? And here's what they found. They found that creativity is 85% learned behavior. And think about what that means for a minute. That means you and I, on our groggiest day, are 85% as creative as Mozart or Da Vinci or Picasso. The problem is that we don't feel that way, and we have underdeveloped skills in the category of creativity. Just like a muscle, for example, we all have muscles as human beings, but if you go to the gym and exercise those muscles, they'll grow.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we have sort of flabby creativity muscles as a nation. But the good news is that there really are techniques and specific practices that all of us can do to build that creativity muscle. And we all, as our gift as human beings, have enormous amounts of creativity to bring to the world. Another quick myth, by the way, is labeling. You know, maybe a kid isn't very good at art early on, and they immediately label themselves, or worse, a parent or teacher labels them as being not creative. And that sticks with someone for years. Same thing as adults. I mean, we think that musicians are creative and accountants are not creative. So one's profession or one's label has absolutely nothing to do with your creative potential as a human being.
Yeah, well, certainly we know in accounting some get a little bit too creative and they end up in federal prison. So they do have this creative gene, that's for sure. But just talk for a minute. You state in your book that it's a risky business to play it safe. You know, entrepreneurs today in this world, in this economy, and with what's going on in the political realm, are playing it safer than they ever have. Let's talk about why it's risky business to play it safe.
Well, there's a great Jack Welch, the former CEO of General Electric, quote that says, if the rate of change on the outside is greater than the rate of change on the inside, the end is near. And again, our world has become so competitive, so fast-moving, that playing it safe, sticking to your knitting or doing what you've always done, is a really very risky move. Even from a career standpoint, you know, the old thing was, you know, you go get a degree, get a job at a big company, work really hard, keep your head down, do what you're told, and you retire in 30 years with a gold watch. Well, that world doesn't exist anymore. And what now, the safest thing that one can do, really, is try to do something different, try to be a mold breaker and really stand for something. There's really never been a better time to be an entrepreneur. And I think that when entrepreneurs fail, sometimes it's because they're actually too timid. They're not going for it aggressively enough.
You know, it's interesting you use this phrase, to be a mold breaker. We when we consult with companies, we'll look at their website, and we consult with, you know, scores and scores of different industries, and we'll say, let's look at your website. And then we look at five of their competitors, and guess what? They're all saying exactly the same thing. And we say, how are you going to compete? No wonder you're commoditized. No wonder you have to sell on price. And the other thing that they do is they talk about, well, we've been in a family business. We've been around for 50 years, and we've done tons of research to find out that buying criteria has nothing to do with being a family business. It has nothing to do with how long you've been in business. They want to know what you're doing for me that's different and better. So you're right. I mean, I agree with you 100%. You've got to break the mold. You got to stand out in the crowd. Otherwise, you commoditize yourself, and that is very risky business.
No, the world doesn't need another me too anything. And as you point out, there's so many people that they're just lookalikes in every industry. And there's a couple techniques that I'll share from the book that I like to talk about. One of them is called edge storming. And we've all heard of brainstorming, where you just come up with ideas. Well, edge storming forces you to take your ideas all the way to the edge. You know, what's the craziest, what's the most outlandish you can go with the idea? Now, you can always ratchet the idea back later on to make it more practical, but it helps you break through traditional thinking. Quick example was is Cirque du Soleil, the amazing circus and performing act. Well, at the time that they came out, Barnum and Bailey Circus was the number one circus in the world. Now, most people, what they would do, if you were going to compete with an entrenched leader, is they'd say, oh, I'm going to start exactly the same circus, but I'll have one extra elephant, or I'll have a different color logo. So they're different in such a small way that it's insignificant. Well, Cirque du Soleil did something special. They edge-stormed their way all the way to success. Rather than just doing a small incremental change, they said, let's blow this whole industry up. Let's inject dance and theater and the arts and performing, and they just completely changed the mold. So today, Cirque du Soleil is a billion-dollar company, and Barnum & Bailey had filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection.
Yeah, that's the old way of doing things. I hate to say this, but I believe that's what's going on in the publishing world. E-books are taking the publishing world by storm, and the traditional publishing houses are the buggy whip, and they haven't figured out how to do that. Josh, would you stay with us for a few minutes? We're going to take a short commercial break, and we'll be right back. I want to continue this conversation. I love it. It's fascinating. Stay with us.
We'll be right back with Mind Your Biz Today and Janie Smith after this word from our sponsors.
Searching for executive training programs to help your company's growth? 90% of South Florida's major corporations have sent their executives to training at Nova Southeastern University's Hudson Institute of Executive Education. With workshops ranging from sales to Six Sigma and from management development to mergers and acquisitions, your executives will gain the skills necessary to immediately impact your bottom line. To customize your organization's training, visit nova.edu/execed.
Here is Janie Smith with Mind Your Biz Today.
Welcome back, South Florida, to Mind Your Biz Today. This is Janie Smith. I'm your host. I'm president and CEO of Smart Advantage. We help companies identify their competitive advantage. And we have a wonderful guest today, Josh Linkner, who is the author of the new book, Disciplined Dreaming, A Proven System to Drive Breakthrough Creativity. We're talking about how important creativity is in staying healthy in business, and how we're sort of losing it in this country about how to do that. And Josh has got this wonderful book telling us the pitfalls, the pitfalls of not being able to stay creative and what we should do about it. So, Josh, thanks for being with us again. And I'd like to ask you, what advice do you have for entrepreneurs? We just talked about entrepreneurs being risky. What advice do you have for entrepreneurs just starting out? I get that question all the time. I can't have a competitive advantage if I'm just starting out. So what do you think?
Well, I would say that you can't afford not to have a competitive advantage just standing out, because again, if you just follow the entrenched leaders, you'll end up being an also-ran. The great thing about being a startup entrepreneur is that you have a big blank canvas, and it's up to you to paint the masterpiece. And one of the nice things is that you can really become that disruptive force of change. It's funny, nearly all major breakthroughs tend to come from startups. I'll give you a quick example. There's this company called Zipcar, which is completely broke the mold of rental cars. They rent by the hour in major cities, hugely successful, very, very profitable company. Well, this was invented by a startup. It wasn't invented by Hertz or Avis or Budget. So, again, startups can be very powerful forces of disruptive creativity. And so I would encourage startups to really hold true to their biggest ideas. Don't let them get watered down. And the worst thing you can do is look like somebody else that's already out there.
No, I agree with you 100%. When folks come to us with that question, you used a Jack Welch quote a minute ago, and I like to use one of his as well, which is Jack says, if you don't have a competitive advantage, don't compete. Don't come out of the gate without one. Otherwise, your money is going to go up in smoke, your investment in your company. So what are your three favorite brainstorming techniques? Because I know from past experience, in order to be creative, you got to get your people together. You got to squeeze their brains. That's what we do on competitive advantages. We wear them out squeezing their brains. What are your best ideas?
Well, the book is specific to that. So based on my experience as a four-time entrepreneur and also a jazz musician, that wasn't enough. So I also interviewed 200 thought leaders. I interviewed billionaires, artists, musicians, CEOs, and tried to boil all this collective wisdom down into a very simple and easy-to-follow step-by-step process to allow people to build and nurture creativity. And so there are a lot of techniques in the book. I'll share a couple with you real quick. One of them that I like to talk about is called the opposite. And in the opposite, what you do, if you're trying to solve a business problem, it could be coming up with a new sales approach, it could be launching a new product, it could be even an internal efficiency problem that you're working towards. Anyway, what you do is you start out on a page and you list all the things that you're doing today or all the things that are obvious. Then you list all the things that are conventional wisdom or all the things that your competitors are doing. And then draw a line down the page, and next to each of those, list the exact polar opposite. Don't worry about it. Don't judge it. Don't even think if it's crazy or not. It doesn't matter. Just list the opposite. Well, when you review the opposite of everything else that you just did, everything else of the opposite of the conventional wisdom, it's amazing what you'll find. And not that any one of those ideas might be perfect as it is, but it'll be a wonderful thought starter. Another really fast one is called the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. Remember those commercials? You got your chocolate, my peanut butter, oh, it's delicious. So they took two existing things, mushed them together, and came up with a third new, even more powerful thing. Same can hold true in business. So whether you're taking two different product ideas and smushing them together, maybe you're borrowing ideas from different industries, or even borrowing ideas from nature, the idea is taking inspiration from elsewhere and applying them to your business problem.
Well, those are great ideas. I think I'd like to try those in my own company. I think that's terrific. So you just mentioned being a jazz player. How has your jazz career influenced your thinking as a business leader?
I'll tell you what, being a jazz musician for years has been the best MBA I could have, because in jazz, 99% of the music is made up as you go. It's spontaneous improvisation. That's very much like the world of business today. I mean, the world is moving too fast and it's too complex to just follow an operating manual. And even at individual level, people might get hired based on their resume, but they're going to get promoted and achieve their goals based on their ability to improvise. So jazz has been a wonderful teacher for me, and I actually share a lot of techniques in the book from the world of jazz and talk about exactly how jazz musicians create on the spot and apply it to readers so they can do that in their own lives.
That's terrific. What a great idea. So who are some of you talked about having interviewed 200 people a little while ago. That's fascinating. Josh, who are some of the creative business people you interviewed for your book, and what are some of the key, most outstanding thoughts you came away with?
Well, it's so hard to even limit that down. I mean, I interviewed a woman who was in her late 90s who was the founder of an alternative school. I interviewed really seedy but amazing jazz musicians. I interviewed captains of industry, folks like Dan Gilbert, who is the founder and chairman of Quicken Loans, the largest online mortgage company, and also owns the Cleveland Cavaliers. So, I mean, just a really wide mix of people. I interviewed art directors at ad agencies. I interviewed nonprofit leaders, even military folks. So the cool thing about it was there are common threads, and there are specific techniques. And we've talked a lot about how the education system isn't doing right by us. But the good news, like I said, is there are very specific processes that you can follow to become more creative and to apply more creativity in your business and your life.
Well, that's fantastic. So I'm just curious, what did you glean from the 90-something-year-old lady who has been doing the alternative education?
Boy, she was amazing, and she talked a lot about how encouraging autonomy in kids makes a huge difference, you know, making them feel like they're in control of their own environment, and also fear. And she, like many others, told me that fear is the biggest inhibitor of creativity. You know, we might be in a meeting and have an idea, and it could be a great idea, but we tell ourselves all these horrible things. Oh, if it was such a good idea, maybe someone else would have said it. Or what will my boss think? Or will I look foolish? Or even, what if they like my idea, and then I have to execute it, and I don't do a good job? What will that mean to my career? So in kids and in adults, fear becomes the biggest inhibitor of creativity. So this woman helped me understand that, and also she gave me some specific ideas on how to cut through that fear, how to break through it, and ultimately let your creativity shine.
Yes, I've actually heard of another technique along those same lines to avoid fear, which is where you bring your team together on a weekly basis, and you say, what was the biggest mistake anybody made this week, and how did you fix it? And the CEO would lead off with whatever mistake he or she made. And so you make it okay to make mistakes, and you make it okay to try something new so that you took that fear factor out. I mean, those are the same kinds of things you need to do so people say, okay, I'll take the risk. And it's really hard in today's world. People are afraid to take risks because of the job market in an organization. If I screw up, am I going to be out of here? So they have all that to deal with, don't they?
You're exactly right. And taking responsible risks is really part of creativity. I mean, James Dyson, the inventor of the Dyson vacuum cleaner, he quote-unquote failed 5,100 times before getting it right. Literally 5,100 failed experiments. What do most of us do? Most of us don't even try in the first place. Or if we try and it doesn't work out immediately, we run for the hills of safety. So failing along the way is not really a failure. Those mistakes are merely a portal of discovery. You know, one quick thing from the book, it's kind of fun. There's a company that I interviewed that offers a Failure of the Year award. So they have a big company meeting, and they show the, you know, the Employee of the Year and the Project of the Year, but also the Failure of the Year. And they celebrate it. They say, this is the team or individual that tried something, they went out on a limb, they had smart thinking, and it didn't work out at all. So rather than punishing it, they celebrate it. And think about the message that sends to the organization and how deep in the DNA creativity has become.
Wow, that's amazing. So what is the chief challenge in making a good idea reality? Because I find that is our biggest challenge. We go into companies, we go through our process, we uncover competitive advantages, we lead them out there, but execution, it seems to be, and there are countless books written about execution. So in your view, what's the chief challenge in making good ideas a reality if you've got all this creativity in an organization?
Well, that was the idea behind the title of the book, you know, disciplined dreaming. So dreaming without discipline is just fantasy, and discipline without dreaming is rigidity. So trying to put these two seemingly unrelated concepts together, and in the process in the book, you know, it goes through a five-step process, and after all the ideas are out and all out on the table, the last step is called launch, and that's where you sort the good ideas from the bad ones, and you sort of reconnect your left brain and your right brain and figure out not only which ideas should you pursue, but how to pursue them. And so one thing I can tell you, though, is that often that type of thinking, executional thinking, inhibits the creative process, and it really needs to be separated. So in other words, when you're brainstorming, someone throws an idea out, then everyone else around the table shoots it down because, oh, how are you going to execute it? How are we going to afford it? How's this going to work? How's that going to work? It sucks the creativity out of the room. So the best thing that you can do is have a two-step process. Step number one is coming up with ideas. And in that step, let every idea fly. Have fun. Doesn't matter. Don't worry. Don't judge. Don't worry about execution. Don't edit. Step number two, after all the ideas are out, then you really take a sharp pencil to it and say, all right, which of the ideas are best and how am I going to execute them? And so separating out the ideation process from the execution process can make both of them more effective.
Okay, that makes good sense. So let me ask you something else, and this is where you and I may have a little bit of difference of opinion, but I don't know. Let me ask you about the Super Bowl commercials. There's been lots of conversation about that. I've been invited on some radio shows to talk about it as well. The M&M Chrysler commercial that aired during the Super Bowl received tremendous attention, as did so many. Do you see a turnaround shaping up for Detroit? You're from Detroit. Detroit's been in big trouble for a long time. What's your view on what's going on there now?
You know, I am so optimistic and passionate about it. In fact, you know, I've really committed my life's work to helping rebuild the city of Detroit. I look at Detroit as having our story is evolving. You know, we had chapter one of Detroit was this amazing city of entrepreneurial fire, and folks like Henry Ford put us on the map, and we prospered and thrived. Unfortunately, chapter two was one of entitlement, finger pointing, and bureaucracy, and we let the creativity go away, and our city crumbled. Well, now we're entering chapter three, and it's up to us to really reinvent the city and help rebuild this amazing place. I believe it's going to happen. Detroit is a city with a soul.
Okay.
You know, there's amazing universities, there's talented people, there's low cost. So I think it's a great place to be entrepreneurial. And we're investing right now very heavily in tech startups in the city of Detroit, and I think that we're going to see a new Detroit renaissance that's going to be amazing. And over the next 10 years, people are going to look to Detroit as a beacon of hope and an example of an amazing turnaround.
Well, Josh, I hope you're right, and I wish you luck. And Detroit certainly has you on their side. That's a good thing. We're getting ready to wrap up the show here. I just want to say a couple of things. One is I think that my footnote on this is a lot of advertising that we see in the Super Bowl. Some of it works, some of it doesn't. Some of it's about a message, and some of it has no message. It's just designed to entertain. And so my feeling is it's got to do more than entertain. It's got to sell products. So I think some of it does and some of it doesn't. That was the only point I wanted to make. But I am so thankful that you were able to be on the show today, Josh. I can't wait to read this book from cover to cover. I haven't had a chance to do that yet. Thank you for being with us. And listeners in South Florida, I wish you a great weekend. It's Friday afternoon, and hopefully some of you are on your way home. Please visit our website, mindyourbiztoday.com. Give us your thoughts on this program and other programs. Josh, give us real quickly in one sentence your contact information.
Sure. Anyone can reach me on my site at joshlinkner.com. That's joshlinkner.com.
Okay, and you can visit us at smartadvantage.com in addition to Mind Your Biz. Thanks for being with us, South Florida. Have a great weekend, and please tune in again next Friday.
You've been listening to Mind Your Biz Today with Janie Smith, CEO of Smart Advantage, best-selling author and business consultant extraordinaire. Tune in next Friday at 4:30 p.m. for another great program here on 880 The Biz.